It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. With the primary election 4 weeks from tomorrow, we're talking this week with the two Democratic candidates for Baltimore City State's Attorney. Tomorrow I'll talk with Marilyn Mosby, who worked as a prosecutor in the state's attorney's office for 6 years. This morning I'm joined by the incumbent state's attorney, Greg Bernstein, who was elected 4 years ago and is running for re-election. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, of the changes that you've made during the 3.5 years you've been in office, what would you say has had the biggest impact on public safety?
Well, Sheila, you know, when I ran, I said that I was going to make my primary focus to be the violent crime that we've seen in the city that is just at an unacceptable level. And to that end, we created a major investigations unit that focuses on the violent repeat offenders who are responsible for most of the violent crime. The data is pretty clear that most violent crime that we see in urban centers is committed by a relatively small number of people. So to the extent that you can focus your resources in a strategic way on those individuals, you can start to have a meaningful impact. And the Major Investigations Unit has done that. It's been successful in convicting approximately 200 of these violent repeat offenders, as well as doing a series of initiatives in neighborhoods throughout the city, focusing on these small drug organizations, small drug crews, if you will, operating in, you know, 1 or 2 block areas. We've charged anywhere from 8 to 14 people in these separate indictments, beginning in the Coppin Heights area of West Baltimore, then East Oliver, Gilmore Homes, the Chum, Belvedere Corridor up in Northwest, Lafayette Square, and just last week we did 2 more in the Pennsylvania Avenue area and then the Tri-District area. So I think the Major Investigations Unit has been very successful in that regard. The other thing I'd say that we've been, I think, very successful in is with our Special Victims Unit, which is a unit that I created where we've combined our sexual assault and domestic violence units into one. We call it our Special Victims Unit, or SVU. These are very difficult cases to prosecute. You're asking victims, usually women, but sometimes men, to come in and talk about very difficult things that have happened to them. And so we need specialized training and experienced prosecutors to do those cases, which we now have. And since we created that unit, the conviction rates for those cases have gone up about 10-11%. So we're pretty pleased with that. And lastly, I said in the beginning that we were going to reorganize the office into what we call a community prosecution model, where my prosecutors are now community prosecutors. They're not just general felony prosecutors or narcotics prosecutors. Those units no longer exist. Now all my prosecutors are community prosecutors. They are assigned to specific neighborhoods in the city, which gets them more connected to the neighborhoods that they're responsible for prosecuting
cases. So why is that a more efficient way to prosecute?
I think it's more efficient in two ways. Number one, it allows the prosecutors to get a better understanding of how cases both impact the community that they're responsible for, as well as understand the relationship between cases, because they're focusing on the same geographic area, as opposed to, say, doing a narcotics case on Monday on the west side of town and a narcotics case on the east side of town on Tuesday. This way, they're really focusing in on particular geographic areas. The second way it's more effective is that the prosecutors are now working more closely with the same officers and detectives from the precincts that are assigned to those particular neighborhoods. So now they can establish, you know, better working relationships, more collaborative ones. And we have seen an increase in our conviction rates since we went to the community prosecution model. And one way to measure that, for example, is since we've gone to that model and the conviction rates have increased, we've been successful in convicting an additional 500 serious felonies a year, as well as an additional 100 gun-related crimes a year. So that suggests to me that the model is working. Of course, there's always much more work to do, but that's where we are for now.
What would you do in a second term that you have not done in a first term?
Well, Sheila, you know, I'm not satisfied with the progress that we've made. I mean, you can't be satisfied. We've made great strides. We've done extremely well. We've reorganized the office. We've made it more efficient. We've made it more effective. The Major Investigations Unit, I think, has done a spectacular job in going after these violent repeat offenders. The community prosecution model, as I described. But we need to do better. We need to do more. And so I think what we need to do going forward in the next 4 years is to continue to push these initiatives. You know, my wife said to me a few weeks ago that, you know, you've made it into a good office, but now here's your opportunity to make it into a great office. And that's really the goal for the next 4 years.
So steady as you go?
Absolutely. The other thing we have to continue to stay focused on the violent repeat offenders and the violent crime. I think that if you take your foot off the gas, so to speak, to use the cliche, I think you lose the success, the traction, if you will, that you've achieved. So we've got to continue to remain very aggressive in that regard. The other thing we're starting to do that we began a few months ago is to focus on individuals who are getting repeatedly arrested for lower level type offenses, nonviolent offenses. So, for example, individuals who are getting arrested time and time again for breaking into cars or breaking and entering into a house or maybe stealing a cell phone from somebody on the street or rogue and vagabond or disorderly conduct. Because these individuals have a real impact on the quality of life of the citizens in the neighborhoods in which they're committing these crimes. You know, Sheila, we handle about 50,000 misdemeanors a year in the district court. So we can't do it with every case. But what we're starting to do is to analyze the data and look for those individuals who are getting arrested time after time after time and start to be, you know, much more focused and strategic in handling those cases.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Baltimore City State's Attorney Greg Bernstein. He's running for re-election. I get the focus on repeat offenders, even minor crimes, but the city's really upset about homicides. In 2013, there were 235 murders in Baltimore, the most in 4 years. How can you say you're doing a good job with numbers like that?
Well, what we're doing in the state's attorney's office is being very focused on these cases. And I think that, for example, with the homicide cases, in the last 4 years, our conviction rates for homicide cases has increased about 10-11%. So that suggests to me that we're bringing, you know, better cases, more effective cases, and getting better results. We meet regularly on a monthly basis with the homicide detectives from our, you know, counterparts in the police department to review cases, to make determinations about which cases we can charge. And if we do not have enough evidence yet, if the police have not developed enough evidence yet, what's the best way to, continue to develop the case in a way that can be effective? The fact is, Sheila, is I gave up a successful career in private practice in order to, you know, run for this office because I wanted to make a difference because I felt that the level of violence that we've seen in the city is just unacceptable. And it is still unacceptable. But at least within the state's attorney's office, as I've described in the last few minutes, you know, we've made tremendous strides in improving the effectiveness and the efficiency of how we're operating, and we're going to continue to do so.
As you know, there have been some high-profile police cases of individuals dying in police custody. Anthony Anderson's death in 2012, Tyrone West last year. In both of these cases, your office decided not to prosecute the officers involved. Those decisions create a lot of distrust of the criminal justice system for some in Baltimore. How do you deal with that? What do you say to those people?
Well, what I say, which is what I said in each case, because if you recall, I'm the one that stood in front of the TV cameras and the media and explained our decision because I felt that as the elected state's attorney, it was my responsibility to do that and to provide in great detail the basis for the decision. These were both investigations that I personally supervised because I felt that they were that important. The fact is, Sheila, that we have prosecuted, I think, approximately 20 police officers in the 3.5 years I've been state's attorney. And it's not something I take great solace in, but if an officer violates the law, then we need to move forward and prosecute him or her. The police department is 3,000 members, and almost all of them, of course, are hardworking, dedicated public servants. But when there are instances in which an officer violates the law, we have to move forward. And we've prosecuted police officers for use of excessive force and other events. With the Anthony Anderson case and the Tyrone West case, the evidence was very clear that the officers used objectively reasonable force under the circumstances consistent with their training, which is the standard that you must follow. We don't engage in 20/20 hindsight in looking at these cases because officers have to make, you know, these very snap judgments and very chaotic, you know, ever-changing situations. Instead, we look to what an objectively reasonable officer would do under the circumstances.
We are running out of time, and I do want to ask you about marijuana. Possession, as you know, possession of small amounts of marijuana, 10 grams or less, has been decriminalized in Maryland. You wrote about decriminalization in a commentary for the Baltimore Sun last summer. You said, quote, "There is a very real risk that if we are not thorough and methodical in our approach to confronting this important issue, we will wake up one day and wonder how a seemingly simple decision spawned a number of unanticipated challenges and problems," close quote. Did the General Assembly make the right call?
Well, you know, they made a decision to decriminalize, as you noted, you know, possession of small amounts. And what I've said is I think that before maybe we go to the next step and start talking about something like legalization, you know, we have these great experiments going on in Denver, Colorado, and Seattle, Washington, which have legalized marijuana recently. And so what a great opportunity to study the way in which they've gone about and done that. Each state's do it in very different ways in terms of the regulations that are in place, the methods in which they're allowing folks to sell marijuana. I don't know which one is better, which one's right. I don't know yet what the impact is going to be of the legalization process. So I think we should wait and see and be cautious and learn from what they do.
Thanks for coming in to talk to us.
Thanks for having me, Sheila.
Baltimore City State's Attorney Greg Bernstein. He's running for re-election this year. Tomorrow we'll speak with his primary opponent, Marilyn Mosby. More information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. Just ahead, the history of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Stay with us on 88.1.